Hey guys, welcome back to the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. You're listening to us now on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM with your co-hosts Nishan and
Luxon.
And before we begin our segment for today, we're going to go into our weekly news segment, starting with a little incident involving both Ole Miss and South Carolina during a women's basketball game. Take it away, Luxon.
All right, so on February 4th, Sunday, Ole Miss played South Carolina in a women's basketball game. During the game, player Markeisha Davis had her wig slip off while they were playing, and both teams stopped, came together, and helped her put her wig back on in her time of need. And the coach also tweeted about the whole incident on Twitter, saying, "This warms my heart. My Gamecocks women's basketball babies met the moment with kindness and understanding I see every day." And then she said that women's basketball was at its finest and they were standing together saying, "We are women's basketball."
Yeah, so for those who don't know, the mascot for South Carolina is the Gamecocks, which is very interesting. I'll say mm-hmm. that, and quite ironic for a women's basketball powerhouse, but I digress. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you know, it's nice seeing players, you know, be sportsmanlike to each other, mm-hmm. you know, be just bros or sisses, I guess, in mm-hmm. this case. But, you know, it's pretty wholesome. Like, you know, they could have very easily went without her, like, you know, ignored it. And, you know, it's pretty cool seeing how, like, as good as South Carolina is, that they're still, like, good people.
Yeah, and they definitely demonstrated a lot of good sportsmanlike qualities, just going to help her out and just really showing what women's basketball is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that women's basketball is getting more views now. I know Caitlin Clark has a lot of it, but it's getting a lot very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our Paige Beckers is, she's bringing in some numbers too.
Of course, yeah, Paige Beckers, we can't mention women's basketball without her. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, UConn is going to be facing South Carolina next week on February 11th. So just mark your calendars, watch out for that.
Wow, would you look at that. And also, South Carolina won that game too. So, yeah.
No, I mean, like, they're doing,
No, I'm saying in the game that South Carolina played with Ole Miss, they won that game, and we just happen to be playing them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I just find that as a funny little coincidence. Yeah.
You know, South Carolina is undefeated in basketball, right, like this year. They were same thing last year. They were undefeated until the Final Four.
Dang. They're on a little bit of a mean streak. Hopefully we could break that up, just discombobulate them a little bit, and hopefully just get that dub.
Yeah, respect to South Carolina, but you guys got to go down at some point.
Yeah, we're coming, and we're coming fast.
Yeah, but perfect topic, because speaking of UConn women's basketball, you know, our faithful coach Gino Auriemma won his 1,200 basketball game earlier this week. They dominated Seton Hall and earned him a spot and one of three coaches to win 1,200 games. And with that, he's won 11 championships, the most of any school, mind you, and has reached the Final Four 22 times.
Dang. Gino is really just killing you. I feel like he's been a great addition to the women's basketball team, just our team, and leading us to 11 championships after 39 years with us is just amazing.
Yeah, like, he's been here for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really love Gino, I gotta say. He's an absolute goat of a coach.
Yeah, he's one of the pillars of the basketball community.
Here's a fun fact. Aside from one loss, in 2022 to South Carolina, of course, UConn in just about every sport, including, basketball, field hockey, and soccer, is undefeated in national championships.
Wow. That's just amazing. I actually didn't know that, but it's good to hear that we're doing so well, and it's good to know that we can experience that just while we're here, because I know we talked about this a little bit before. It wasn't always like this, and we kind of had to build up this name and reputation for ourselves, but it's great to be here while a franchise is being built, and hopefully we get that blue blood status.
Oh, yeah. While, UConn is been to a bunch of national championships. We have not lost a single one except for that one in 2022. But you know what? Most colleges can't say the same thing. So, yeah, like I personally think that both the men's and women's are – I think UConn is the number one basketball school in the country. It's just – I can't not say it. It's not a hot take. It's just facts.
Yeah.
16 total is the most for any school if you count both women's and men's. And I'd wager that UConn is actually the only school in the country in which both men's and women's could arguably be blue bloods. Women's definitely are, and the men's effectively are this year.
Yeah, like, I mean, men's is number one. We're really building up that reputation. I feel like we're about to get to the point where it's going to be undisputable, and teams are just going to have to just give us our recognition.
Well, pretty much like a lot of like college basketball like outlets consider us a blue blood at this point.
Mm-hmm. We just need to get there officially.
Do you remember when Shaq, like, he tweeted about, like, Adama Sanogo last year? Mm. Barbecue chicken alert.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, but going back on the topic of women's basketball, Gino has made several implications that he might be retiring as soon as, like, this season or the next season. So hopefully those rumors are not correct, because I would really like to have Gino here for the rest of my days as a UConn student.
A couple more years, you know, just hold out for us. I like to see him be with the team a bit more to just build up the franchise just like he's been doing. And it would genuinely suck to have to try to find a new coach, especially since we're doing so well right now.
I think we won't have too much of an issue with like finding new or good coaches. We find a lot of good recruits. Like, anyways, UConn women's basketball is such a dynasty. It's been such a great program that I feel like we won't be in any peril anytime soon. It's more like the coach we have will probably not be Gino.
Yeah, that's just gonna sting a little bit, especially since he's been so just integral to just the women's basketball team.
Yeah, and women's basketball as a whole. But, like, you got to give your flowers. Congrats, Gino. You know, Women's Sports Day just passed, so that was the perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Got it on the day of all things. Yeah, but, like, congrats, like I said. And UConn basketball, keep rocking on. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to go into some real meat in this, like, new segment. I'm going to regret saying that. Regarding 2024 Grammys and a lot of things that have happened. Actually, it was overall pretty dry. But, like, aside from that, there are some big things, starting with Jay-Z.
A couple high points.
Starting with Jay-Z criticizing, I guess, the Grammys for Beyonce. You know, his wife has won the most Grammys of any artist at 32, but she's still yet to win Album of the Year.
That's just crazy. I mean, they're, at this point, they're beyond holding out on Beyonce, and she needs to get that. I really thought she would get it this year with Renaissance, especially since that was such a just big and popular album. But dang, I guess they held out on her again.
Yo, them giving last year with Harry Styles over Beyonce was one of the biggest mistakes I have seen in the Grammys.
Great upset. Just god damn.
Because it's like, no offense to Harry Styles, like, I like As It Was and all that, but it was like, really? It was like, like, his whole album wasn't like, you know, I wouldn't give him Album of the Year.
Yeah,
I would give him one song.
I also don't feel like he had done enough for that year to really get that spot away from Beyonce. So I feel like the award was misgiven, I would say.
Yeah, I know a lot. That was very controversial, but, you know, like, you know, Jay-Z's got a point. Like, Beyonce has won a lot, and, you know, she has to win Album of the Year pretty soon. She's got a lot of influence, a lot of fans. Her music is pretty great. Like, I'm not even a Beyonce stan. I promise you guys. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's like, just objectively good.
Yeah, it's just the facts. I don't know, like, if this is as bad as Killer Mike, but, Lexan, I'll give you, like, the mic for that.
So, Killer Mike basically dominated the Grammys this year in the rap segment, winning over Drake, Nicki Minaj, Kendrick Lamar, a bunch of big names, and he amassed a total of 3 Grammys in total. He was on a killing spree, and it was crazy. But honestly, he was he was just so unexpected. I didn't even think he was going to do as well as he did, nor did I really hear his name prior to this. So it was definitely a shock just to hear that he won that much, considering just a number of things. And something else controversial happened with Killer Mike. He was later arrested that evening at the Grammys for an unexpected misdemeanor battery charge.
Yeah, Killer Mike came out of left field there. Like, they really threw us, like, a curveball with Killer Mike.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a bunch of comments saying, like, even to this day saying, like, I still don't know who Killer Mike is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. Do you think Killer Mike, like, deserved that? Do you think anyone got robbed?
It's
a big one.
I don't know what the other artists were nominated for, but I didn't hear the album, so I can't definitively say that the other people got robbed because I don't entirely know. But I mean, based on my opinion, I would say that it was definitely a robbery.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, Killer Mike. I'm sorry, but it's like I feel like they threw that, and I feel like that's not what anyone would think. Like, I don't think there's a secret group of people or like a cult following that actually likes Killer Mike as much as they were insinuating with all like his sweep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like his popularity was definitely gassed up, and I don't think it was as big as they were trying to make it out to seem.
Bro.
I mean, it's definitely bigger now that he's done this sweep and he's came into relevancy. But, like, before, I don't really think it was really there.
Yeah, the Grammys very rarely go in, like, my favor or the people I know's favor. It's like it's either the same person over and over again, as we've seen with Taylor Swift, which she's probably going to win next year due to her album coming out in April. Or it's going to be someone that, like, we've never heard of or has little exposure, and it's going to be the one segment that I really would pay attention to or I'd really want someone else to win.
I feel like the committee for the Grammys, they have just some sort of secret agenda, because what is going on here?
Bias is a bitch, I'll say that.
Yeah, and Killer Mike, he actually celebrated the moment by capitalizing and selling special merchandise called the Michael Broom, which was to be exclusively used for sweeping Grammys away.
Just a broom?
Just a broom. Just to celebrate that sweep.
That's
so
dumb.
Just really drive in the victory into other people's faces.
That's so goofy, but you know what? You know, congrats, Killer Mike.
He's earned it.
He's earned
although
it.
Although I disagree with the decision choice that they made, he's kind of earned that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give it to him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, on the bright side, SZA won Best R&B Song. It was Snooze. And, that song got stuck in my head. I know I listen to the radio a lot, like Power 105.1, like in the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
But, yo, that song is good.
Yeah.
Like, I was just literally singing it earlier today.
Yeah, it's really hypnotic. I mean, they got that right. At least SZA, she earned that damn Grammys. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, she also got Best Progressive R&B Album, SOS.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Okay.
Quick question for you: what was your favorite song off of SOS?
Give me 1 second. I overall I did like the album, but like
solid album.
Yeah,
I definitely waited quite a while for that, but solid album by SZA. She definitely showed out.
There's so many. I would say it's either Snooze or Good Days. I'm gonna lean towards Good Days because that's the one I listened to first. But I would say an honorable mention would go to Snooze, and then of course Kill Bill is another great one.
Kill Bill is my pick.
But like It's like there's so many like reasons why I like them. Good Days is the most nostalgic in like quotations. It's the one I first listened to. Yeah, I have the most attachment to.
Good Days just makes you feel euphoric as hell, bro. It's a crazy sort of feeling.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the strings in it are great too. Like I would say Snooze is the one I probably like the most, like in general. So I guess Snooze or Good Days, like, you know. But Kill Bill is the catchiest.
Yeah.
like, just so many good things. Like, I can, like, SZA really outdid herself, like, this past year.
Yeah. You know your music is good when you pull niggas out of character, bro, because...
Oh, yeah.
God. Great songs. Congratulations to SZA, like, really. Yeah, congrats, she really did her thing.
Yeah. Also, I forgot about I Hate You. I would say, like, I like I Hate You, but I would say it's the weakest of them, simply because I just don't have the same attachment, even though, actually, I heard the song before Good Days. It was the first one I heard from SOS. But, like he said, congrats, SZA. I know it's been a lot of glazing right now, but that's the one that I actually agree with. So, good job. But finalizing our new segment will be quite a couple of hilariously crazy stories coming from some of our favorite celebrities, starting with the Drake leak. Like, and it's not an album, I'll tell you that. So basically, just a couple of days ago, Drake got exposed on the internet for this picture, allegedly holding his dong and, like, you know, having some little fun, having a little fun by himself, you know.
I'll say some.
He was blasting his rocket off. I'll say that.
Self-gratifying, you could say.
Yeah. And so, you know, the internet went into shambles after seeing that, you know, everyone making jokes about, like, you know, his little pocket dog. Like,
there were a plethora of memes and parodies and videos that came out the minute that news just got dropped. And not going to lie, that is a very Drake thing to do.
I was about to say that.
It's a very Drake thing to do.
Yeah, but that was the funniest shit that I heard this week.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like Drake just encompasses all that is weird, I would say.
Yeah.
Not weird.
No, no, weird.
I would say quirky, maybe.
That still works for me. He's quirky, he's weird. He, dare I say, queer. Not beating those allegations. But you know, speaking of queer, we're talking about Aiden Ross now and his response. And yo, Aiden Ross is hilarious.
Are you gonna try to read it verbatim?
I am absolutely going to try reading it verbatim, but
really try to capture that delivery, because what he said was hilarious.
Yeah, but, you know, Aiden Ross has basically been blowing so many guys, no pause, because that's what he's been doing. Like, Andrew Tate, Drake. Yeah,
he has been blowing, glazing, and showing a special sort of appreciation for men in general.
Yes, and so I will, I'm going to say it right now. All right, so according to Sportskeeda, the quote is, "I'm going to send him a voice memo. I'm still live, bro. We were just looking at your shit. It's like crazy, bro. Like, goddamn, you're blessed with your voice. You're blessed with your performing. You're blessed to be you. You're blessed to be number one. But you're also blessed to have a fucking missile." Aiden Ross is just a whole nother animal, bro. Yeah, but, like, we got to talk about, like, speaking of, like, Aiden Ross, remember that situation with Cardi in, like, the live stream?
Yeah. Yeah, that boy got finessed.
Yeah, he gave, like, how much did he give Cardi?
He gave him $2 million for 6 minutes.
Yeah, basically just show up. Bro showed up, like, 5 hours late. Cardi just took the money, like, stayed for 6 minutes. Cardi took the money.
Damn.
Yeah, that was
Aiden Ross got finessed.
That was hilarious.
Badly.
Yeah, but, like, we also got to talk about Playboi Carti, bro.
It was almost like he was paying for a webcam service based on how much he was paying and the little amount of time that he got.
Oh, yeah.
He got finessed, fandangled, crazy. Yeah,
Carti pulled up like he from OnlyFans or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But speaking of like Cardi and like skimpiness, like how about you go into detail on his little situation?
They got Cardi too. Cardi there was a pic of him and he was wearing a I think it was a leotard of sorts, but the understanding of a lot of people was that he was wearing a thong.
Yeah,
it was one of them like skimpy black, damn near see-through joints, and they were cutting his ass the fuck up.
Oh yeah,
there was like
there's tearing him up.
They were like, "There's no more defending Cardi." No, at this point, he's gay. He's done.
Yeah,
he's done.
Like Cardi, you know, he came in with that trap outfit, bro. That's hilarious. Yo, Cardi and Drake on the list now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Cardi, like it was almost like Cardi, like those news, like they had to coincide together. Like Drake and his little, like how do I say it? His little,
His missile.
His.
Yeah. Hey,
this is little meat noodle and bro, and Cardi with this like you know, his outfit. I don't even know what to say anymore.
With his tendencies.
Yeah, but gotta cap off the trio with Sexy Red, and like you know, her video after she was pregnant.
Yeah, did you hear about the tweet that she posted too?
What she
about? She said, "I can't wait to get out of the hospital so I could be outside with the niggas." God damn.
Yo, that's crazy.
Hell no.
And then she that was doubled up with a video of her fucking twerking like after she delivered.
Yeah, bro. Yo,
she is grimy.
She has a different level of vulgarity, bro. It's just irredeemable.
Bro, I feel bad for that kid. Imagine being the son of the son of Sexy Red.
Yo, Sexy Red is literally the streets, bro. It's crazy.
She is, bro. She all that crime on her.
Yeah. Yes. It's not sexy, it's dirty.
Yeah.
Ew. It's a dirty red.
Dirty green.
The dirt clay red. It's disgusting.
Nah, but like speaking of which, we said this earlier. Would you rather be Sexy Red or Lana Rhodes' son?
I'm giving it to Lana Rhodes because I feel like, damn, never mind. I redact that. I'm giving it to Sexy Red because Lana Rhodes has a long track record that
is longer,
viewed
bro.
Daily and that amasses the hub like millions of dollars till this day.
Yeah.
And if that's my mom, I'm not going to lie, bro. I'm going to have some psychological issues and I'm going to be just...
bro, if that's my mom...
I'm done.
I'm going to foster, bro.
I'm done.
I'm going to foster care. I'm trying to get adopted.
I will not have a decent childhood.
Yeah, you can't say nothing about no one. Someone's going to bring up... Yeah, isn't that like rich coming from Mr. Rhodes?
It's the drama. And imagine me finding that out about my mom. Just, when I get older and I find that out about my mom and I like just,
Bro,
that's just trauma right there.
That's like Saint West when he when he uncovered them pics of his mom, bro, of Kim Kardashian.
Nah,
that's crazy.
That just goes to show, ladies, your past is gonna catch up to you. Like if you get in that industry a little bit, just be aware that could have some ramifications later on down in your life.
Nah,
having your kids find out is insane.
Brutal, bro. Yeah, but I would say Sexy Red. I feel like Lana Rhodes just has a longer history as long as I know, and she's probably hiding something even worse than Sexy Red.
One thing that I can say is that I feel like Sexy Red would be more thoughtish outside than Lana Rhodes. I would say
more outwardly
a
hoe.
Yeah. I would say Lana Rhodes would be a bit cooler in public and shit like that.
Yeah, more low-key. I got you.
Yeah, she has more of a record, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
Just weighing my options, pros and cons. Sexy Red is the way to go. What about you?
Like I said, Sexy Red is just... I feel like... I'm not saying that it's a whole, show, but I do think that a lot of it's just a publicity stunt, whereas Lana Rhodes is more legit. It's like they're the opposite. Like, I would say, like, Lana Rhodes is more low-key in real, like, in public, but then, like, an absolute pig when it comes to, like, the bed, bro. But, like, that's not good. Like, when you know what she does. Sexy Red's occupation is probably more pedestrian, relatively speaking. She just looks so bad, like, in public. Because that's what she makes money off. Guys, don't do that. Lie. Don't fall for it.
Yeah, if y'all have ever seen Sexy Red's high school graduation pic, she was just dirt ugly.
Nah, she clearly went from ugly blue to sexy red, bro.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but if anything we learned is that 2024 is going to be a fucking interesting year, especially with these damn celebrities, bro.
Yeah, I mean, Cat Williams already started off hot with the podcast episode that he did with Shannon Sharp. That, I feel like that just ignited just a plethora of events to follow that. Definitely a bang.
Yeah, especially with the Super Bowl coming this week. Next week, we're probably going to have something cooking. Some stupid-ass news, bro.
A lot is happening, and March Madness, there's a lot back to back to back. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's making content for us, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this new segment has been getting hella long, but like there's just so much to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we're going to go into our main topic, starting with a hypothetical situation, and that situation is you being in the apocalypse. My first question, where would you go to live if the apocalypse were to start?
Where would I go to live?
Yes.
Honestly, I would probably go to...
Hold that thought. I'll say this. Preface that by saying, would you rather live under a society with very strict regulations or one with more personal freedom but less overall security?
I would say more personal freedom but less overall security, I would say.
Why?
Because for a majority of my existence, I've just been under the government's thumb, and I feel like...
That's all of us.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I guess, okay, for a majority of the human experience, you're under the government's thumb for just your whole life, and I feel like the apocalypse would give you an opportunity to see a life just beyond that, and I would go with that.
Fair enough. I would say, I'm not going to lie, you could make an argument that the apocalypse might have very strict regulations depending on what you interpret it as the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I'd say more personal freedom would be nice, like although less overall security is obviously a red flag, but I don't know. To me, it's the lesser of two evils. I feel like very strict regulations is a huge red flag.
Yeah, especially with it being the apocalypse, you're going to want to have some sort of freedom or just be able to live some sort of life at that point, because it's the apocalypse and you're suffering. It's a struggle every day. It's just literally survival of the fittest and just trying to live as long as possible with the threat of you becoming a zombie or just dying.
Yeah, so you chose freedom. Mm-hmm. Where would you go now?
I would probably go to... I'll go to Canada.
Canada?
Yeah, I'll go to Canada.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I always just wanted to go to Canada. I feel like there would be a tad bit more freedom as opposed to if I stayed here. And I would be able to get that freedom aspect. And also, Canada has way cleaner air than us. So I feel like that's something that could help me in the long run. But
I think Canada is a good, like, option. But I would say, like, I would give a different reason. Because it's more sparsely populated. It's not as densely populated. So you have less, like, overall, like, infrastructure. You have less people to be around. Mm-hmm. Which, if you're trying to, like, to...
Survive
the apocalypse, it'd be better if you're not around too many people. You know, you might want to be in your own group of people you already know. But, like, entire civilizations might be too much. If it's, like, the end of the world type apocalypse and, like, invasion of, I don't know, zombies or, like, other otherworldly creatures... Mm-hmm. But, like, Canada, a lot of it's just dense forests, you know, you don't have too much to worry about, you know, aside from wild animals. But at this point, I'd rather deal with them than whatever the fuck is going on in America.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up question to you making the point about Canada being sparsely populated. Would you live solo on your own, or would you live with a group?
I'd choose group, because I just think that that's how humans naturally are designed to survive. We're social creatures. We live in packs, you know, like family structures, of course. Yeah. And like, I think it would be very foolish, I guess, or not wise to not bring a group of people with you that you trust overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have no choices, then obviously you can't do anything but go solo. But you know, you still have access to other people. People can help you, like, and getting food that can help you, and like fending off, like, fending off like invaders, take care of you when you're ill. It's just having more people around is just too beneficial. Strength in numbers.
You also got to think about the other side of that. Can you really trust these people? Because most likely, it's going to be strangers, and most likely you're not going to know everyone as well as you should know them, and someone in your group could fuck over the whole group very badly and, I don't know, just let in a zombie, or just turn on you, betray you, join another group, and then come back to, I guess, just kill your group. It could go a lot of different ways, and the trust thing is a big thing in zombie apocalypse, especially considering that there is more imminent danger, and you're more likely to die in that sort of world. So yeah. I would probably go with the group still as well, because of all the overwhelming pros, like division of labor, like being able to fend off invaders, helping with food, sheltering, water, trade, just extra hands is going to help you a lot in the zombie apocalypse, but trust is really going to be the make it or break it thing for you.
All right. So because you chose a group, like what roles would you like have? What roles would you assign to each person? Assume a group of, we'll say, seven. All right.
Seven?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to need security first and foremost for when the zombies come. So probably security, someone focused on food, growth, and management who's able to ration. So probably someone just completely dedicated to food collection and just rationing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would need someone to do some sort of construction just in case we want to make some sort of expansion or if something needs to get fixed. So construction. What else would I... Oh, someone who is good with clothes that could help with clothing for different temperatures, different seasons. Someone who's somewhat car savvy, so in case we come across a car, they could help fix it, and that could be used within the settlement. So someone who's mechanically / car savvy, someone to help with, I guess, making weapon creation, just ammunition, all of that. Someone help with that. How many is that now? Like five?
I lost count.
Yeah, it's about five. Who else? Who else would I need?
Got one more. You're part of the seven.
Okay. I guess someone who's just aware of health and food-related things, kind of like a nutritionist and / survivalist somewhat. So someone who's aware of just, like, nature and the things that are going to kill you and the things that you should eat, as well as someone who... Oh, one more, a cook. We're going to need a cook. Someone to help make the food that the food... person is gonna collect. So a cook and someone who's just all around knowledgeable about survival and health.
All right.
A doctor of sorts.
Got you. So would you rather the person, like, would you rather the group as a whole hunt or cultivate their food? So basically, you know, kill things to survive or, like, you know, agriculture where you're like.
I would probably say cultivate based on the fact that most of the animals will probably be infected and the meat will probably have gone bad and will be inedible at that point. And I feel like cultivation would be more sustainable, especially for this sort of apocalyptic world.
All right, got you. So I'll answer my own questions. So I would say, first off, you need someone that can prepare food. So a cook would be like, you know, exactly. I would say definitely cultivating over hunting. I would say that's a better long-term plan. Because you can grow multiple food and you can, like, store it for later. Whereas with meat, you know, you can hunt it only in that moment. It takes a lot more time to, like, actually get the right thing. And there's always the chance that it can, like, escape. Yeah. Or, like you said, it's infected.
Also, like, preservation as well. Like, how are you going to preserve your food for long periods of time? Like,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, so, you know, you want one or two, like, I would say one or two people to help, like, cultivate, because, you know, sometimes that burden might get too much for one person. I would say one person, actually, you know. Two people are going to be guardians, people who protect, like, the perimeters, you know, of our territory. They typically stay awake when we're asleep, and then when we're awake, they're asleep, you know, give them, like, that time. They're there, like I just said, for protection. You know, obviously, everyone's going to protect the territory when necessary, but there are going to be, like, at least two people that are out there during the night when, like, the group would be most theoretically vulnerable to attack. All right. So three would be a medic, because you need someone who knows how to, like, deal with first aid, you know, to deal with injuries, illness and all of that.
Yeah. Someone who could help you out if someone has an infection. They're not going to have an antidote, but they're going to. Yeah. Know how to amputate if need be.
Yeah, they know how to make those decisions. All right, so that is four, I believe, because one plus two plus one.
Oh, I feel, actually, go ahead. And I'm going to see if you are going to mention the thing that I'm thinking, but go ahead.
All right, so I was going to say, like, I was honestly going to say, like, a tech or, like, weapons expert. Like, I think we need weapons if we're in an apocalypse and we're trying to ward off, like, invaders. So we need someone who's, like, technologically inclined. I kind of lumped that in with, like, the tech expert, because I feel like those, like, I know that obviously not the same thing. But I think that, like, in a dire situation, those, like, those skills probably would have to, like, intersect, like with each other. Like, there will be just some overlap. Like, and, like, I think that's important. And I would say for my sixth thing, I would have someone who tends to the place. I would say who keeps the place, like, you know, nice and all of that.
So, like, construction somewhat?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, who helps build up, who helps maintain, like, the area. What were you going to say?
This kind of ties into doctor, but I was going to say, like, a researcher for a cure, someone who would work solely towards a cure, because I feel like
that's a good idea.
Yeah, you would probably want to have someone working on that just as much as possible, just so you could hope to someday escape that world. But yeah.
This is going to sound a little dark, but it just came to my mind. Who would you say is the most disposable of that group? If you got disposable? To can one of them, who would it be? You could choose.
I don't know. They're all so integral. List them off for me.
The ones that you stated earlier.
Honestly, I would say the person that's car and tech savvy, because I feel like you would do fine without that person. I feel like it would definitely be nice and definitely helpful, but they're not so necessary that they're going to, I guess, contribute to the downfall of the settlement?
I would go with one of the Guardians, and the only reason why is because that sounds bad, but I honestly think that the whole point is that they're just there while we're sleeping, just in case. But theoretically, they're replaceable. I had two.
No, I know, but I thought you were saying get rid of that role completely, just get rid of that person.
No, you only had one person for that one, so that's why you got rid of it. Yeah, I meant to say just one person.
Oh.
But yeah, theoretically...
I would say car mechanic sort of guy, but tech-ish savvy dude.
If I had to get rid of a whole position, it'd probably be the last one with the guy who's helping maintain the place. Simply because I think the group as a whole could do it, even if it's not as efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my next question. Go on. So what would you choose to cultivate for food?
I would probably choose corn. I feel like corn is a pretty strong crop, as well as... probably grain, sort of grain or wheat, something for bread, because I feel like that would be necessary. Tomatoes, carrots, vegetables, things like that. And what else?
If you had to hunt something, what would it be? Remember that you're living in Canada.
Probably meese.
I love that term, meese.
Mm.
I always like that term. But yeah, fair enough. I would say wheat is a big one for me. Mm-hmm. I would say carrots and spinach. Got a good one. I know this is fully hypothetical, just so you know. I know that Canada isn't the best place, always for growing crops.
Mm-hmm.
But, those, I would say if I were to hunt something, it would be, deer. I would say reindeer or even moose, the occasional moose or bison. That'd be pretty good.
Mm.
I had elk burgers once. I know this is very off topic, but I have had elk burgers.
Mm. That sounds good.
Yeah, it tastes it tastes kind of like ground beef, just a little bit gamier.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm going off topic. Speaking of killing things, would you be willing to kill other people to survive?
Honestly, yes. Based on the situation I know I would be thrusted in and based on how I think I would react and the decisions I would have to make, I would say yes. I feel like to an extent, it would be somewhat necessary because in that sort of world, it's kind of kill or be killed, survival of the fittest mindset. So I feel like it would come to a point where I'd be against another human and I would have to do it. That's literally the last resort. But if I had to for survival in that world, I would.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have to. If someone's infected or someone is trying to kill me, self-defense first. I'm not killing anyone in my group for as long as I trust them and as long as, they're helping me, no kill. I'm not going to kill innocent people. I'm not that kind of person, bro. But I will take down people who are trying to actively harm us.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like that environment is just going to heighten your...
stakes?
Not your stakes, your... wanting for self-preservation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah. Anyone's, I'm assuming, invaders are going to be people who are, trying to kill us, themselves, or they're going to be already infected. So they're trying to harm us in some way. And, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. The Walking Dead, where they have to kill them begrudgingly.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but, survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
Next question.
What would be the most useful weapon to deal with invading people or creatures?
I would say a gun, like a.
Go on.
Not a handgun. Maybe a. Maybe a rifle? I'm not sure. Actually, no. Let me take that back. I feel like a bomb or a grenade would be like pretty useful. Like, if I'm like, if it's like a horde of zombies or a horde of like aliens or whatever, I could just take that shit, clink, chuck it in the distance, and then like, they get evaporated.
So, grenade is your weapon?
Yeah.
I disagree with that. And I'm going to tell you a couple reasons why. One, that's way too loud. So it's going to draw in both zombies and just other opposing humans that may be against you. So I'm against it for those reasons. Also, that's going to kind of like terraform a lot of your area and a lot of your environment. So that's going to just fuck with how it's going to look and just the quality. I feel like that's going to mess with a lot of ecosystem factors. Too many ecosystem factors.
I probably move
to
it.
Where like it wouldn't be worthwhile to really use it. It's too much downside in my opinion, because you're drawing in people, you're terraforming the ground, and I feel like to an extent it would mess with some of your soil.
I mean, honestly, I would just move anyways if I'm going, like, if I'm going to throw a fucking grenade. I'm not going to stay in that area. But I do agree in that, like, I do kind of understand where you're coming from, and that is not the best decision. I kind of just came up with that on the spot. I'd probably just jump back to gun. I think a long-range weapon, like, is just best. Like, a grenade, it takes too much time, and it's like, if someone's right on my ass, I can't just throw it at them and kill both of us.
Yeah. You got to think realistically, though. How much access are you going to have to weapons like that, like grenades and guns and things like that? And those things, the main thing is they draw too much noise. So
I mean, if
there's
I had
too many just people that are going to hear that.
I think most weapons are going to draw a lot of attention. But, like, honestly, I wouldn't have asked the question if I was thinking realistically. But I would just say gun. I just think that's just the most reliable thing. Like, because you could go with, like, I don't know, machete or some shit like that. It's probably not as effective because you have to go, like, within close range.
Yeah, like mine would probably be spear.
Spear?
It could easily be made. It keeps you at a distance.
Yeah, but you would have to retrieve it.
You wouldn't have to retrieve it. You could just make multiple.
Yeah, it's just that with a gun, it's just easier to, like, you don't have to make it.
Yeah, I would say
it's longer lasting.
Spear for zombies and maybe bow and arrow for humans.
I would have said the opposite. I would have said like bow and arrow for like fucking zombies. Actually, clap them in their head if you need to.
Yeah, bow and arrow could be used for that, but I mean, in a scenario where I would have to assign one weapon to one group, it's spear for zombie and then bow and arrow for human.
Yeah, fair enough. If we're going by primitive weapons, then obviously spear and bow and arrow are the main two. So of the two, I'm going to go with, I really want to say bow and arrow. But I think spear would be easier to use, but I also think the bow and arrow is more useful because I feel like it's better long range because it doesn't require your physical strength as much as just like accuracy.
Yeah, I also feel like it takes a considerable amount of time to build up that skill to use a bow and arrow compared to a spear, where you would probably be a bit more adept at using it compared to bow and arrow, because it really takes it out of you.
Yeah. So with all that in mind, do you think you could actually survive the apocalypse in real life?
Genuinely, no, based on the fact that I'm not knowledgeable enough just about just a wide array of topics to really survive long enough to a point where I would find myself in a group or really last a long time doing that. I don't feel like I would be able to sustain my life long enough based on where I am now, just as a person.
Yeah, honestly, lack of knowledge combined with lack of like muscle memory and like raw abilities. I think if I were to have a Hellsworth of a shot to actually survive, I'd need at least a year of like consecutive training for that. Like,
yeah, and multiple disciplines.
Like the reason why humans were successful with the spears is because they've been doing that for their whole freaking lives. Like I'm not like a obviously I'm not weak or anything, but I don't think I'm chucking a spear as far as early like Neanderthals or early Homo sapiens were. Like it's just not in my palate right now. My arsenal. That's what
I probably wouldn't throw spears. I'd probably just use them as just close quarter weapons to where like I'm close, but I'm not actually throwing my weapon away.
Yeah, but it's just the knowledge and like you need like the physical capabilities too. And it's like I don't think most human bodies are like well accustomed to that. I mean, you can attain it, but it would take a while. Like if it happened right now, nah.
Yeah, I feel like my stamina would suck for that sort of thing too.
Oh yeah. Funny thing is that humans actually have really good stamina, like some of the best in the animal kingdom. The only animals that are comparable are like horses, wolves, and sled dogs. So Jonathan.
Yeah.
You'd probably survive. You'd probably run for hours and not be tired.
Jonathan would have a fair shot at surviving.
Yeah.
Especially if he got away from his dog handler and he was just on his own.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's chilling. He's up in the mountain somewhere.
Yeah. So last question.
Okay. So people are always talking about how the country is soon to be in shambles, leading to a post-apocalyptic world. Do you agree?
I don't right now. Right now. I think people, a lot of people are like doom and gloom about all this like shit that's going on with the world. The world has always been like a shitty place to be in. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not always terrible. Like, you know, life is good, it's great, beautiful, all of that. But a lot of shitty things have happened in the world and, you know, it hasn't broken down yet, even though a lot of injustices, I gotta say. And there's a lot of things I'm not looking forward to. Like, you know what's happening later, like later this year. It's the inevitable. But I'll keep it there. I'll keep like that euphemism right there. But fuck, I don't think that the country is going to go into a post-apocalyptic like scene anytime soon. If it happens, it's probably going to be like when we're on our deathbeds or when we're already dead.
Yeah, I'd probably say in the next 100 years, maybe.
I would give it, I have a little bit more optimism. I would say the next 2 centuries and then something will happen. I don't know, AI is a little scary, but I think we can hold off for a little.
It's growing quick too. It's growing quick too.
It is growing quick. It is growing quick. I have faith that humanity will be able to hold off any like nefarious intentions from AI before but it's a matter of sometimes, you know, some things are better left undiscovered, and I will say that AI is one of them.
All right, well, this feels like a good spot to wrap up the episode. You could catch us on Spotify, Apple Music, WHUS website, and you're listening to us on WHUS Stores, 91.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Black and Bold podcast.
I'm Luxon.
I'm Nashawn.
And have a good-ass day.